Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. All your favorite letters. CFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL. All on the RPS. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Daddy's home.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday, March the 2nd, 2020. This is your host, Rod Peterson, coming at you. We got the co-host, Darren DuPont, here in the bunker. How you doing, Dupes?
Welcome back. I'm doing good.
Thank you. And I just couldn't wait to get the Duke of Mindale on. The Duke, how you doing, Derek Myers?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
Doesn't get any better. We're into March. We're getting closer to hockey playoffs.
You look rather sun-kissed yourself,
Well,
is that a holdover from Florida?
It's a holdover from Florida.
Good for you.
I hold it well. If you've met my parents, which you have, we got a little pigment in us. I'm not sure where from, but we hold a tan.
It's certainly
well.
Not Greek. I just got back from Mexico where people were saying, man, you are tanning well. I said, I'm into my second and third layer of skin. It was by the end of the week. Everything had flaked off already.
Yeah. Really?
So I'm not. It's the Dane in me. Danish.
Well, yeah. And you're a little, I felt you today. I give you a tap on the back. You're straight from the gym.
Yeah, like, I was sweating.
Check out my
Instagram story. I don't normally work out in sandals, flip-flops, but I had to today because I forgot my shoes.
Isn't that against gym protocol?
My runners at home. Not where I go.
Did you keep your socks on?
Do whatever we want.
I go to the same place. It scares me a little.
So, it's a big Monday. We don't really have a name for Mondays, do we? Abu was trying to call it Bomber Mondays. And I guess in a way we could.
Yeah,
because Willie Jefferson's coming up on the program today. The Willie Jefferson. Steamin' Willie. And excited to have him. He's excited to be on. He's coming up here in hour one. Reigning Canadian Football League Defensive Player of the Year. Good friend of mine. Excited to hear from Willie. That's coming up. And then Naaman Roosevelt, who's just signed with the Montreal Alouettes, 5 years with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, a fan favorite, now with the Owls. He'll be with us. And Derek Dennis. Guys, he's going to be our first ever XFL interview.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
That's cool.
He was active on Twitter. Was it last night or this morning? Basically crushing maybe some media people for coming down on the XFL.
I don't think it's media people at all. And what you're talking about
Naylor was a little
Derek
tough.
Dennis is saying this narrative of the CFL versus the XFL is getting old. And if I may, I agree. Totally getting old. We don't sit and kick around what's better, the NHL, the AHL, the East Coast League. You don't. No, we never have.
No.
Why are football people doing it and football fans? So these are a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about today. As I get to my Elite Eight show topics, I've got a lot. Number one, what did I miss? Please update me, and I know that you will.
Oh, yeah.
Off the top of my head, the David Ayers story is like the number
one
thing.
That's a big one.
The Scotties. Well,
no,
yeah,
here
I missed it.
The Scotties. The final.
Yeah, I was
missed.
Here.
Oh, okay.
You just missed the final.
I missed the final. Number two, Randy's road trip was here on the weekend. It was while I was flying back from Mexico, but I was sent the audio of it and photos, and I want to talk about some of the topics that he got to. Point three, XFL week four. Mark Trestman's Vipers finally got a win, the Tampa Bay Vipers.
Yeah.
But you're seeing what I tweeted this morning.
Yep.
CBS saying that Jaime Elizondo may have saved the Vipers, the offensive coordinator, because Trestman apparently was due to be fired had the Vipers lost on Sunday. And
that's
I thought,
quick.
Man, I don't think Mark wants to go down in history as the first coach ever fired in the XFL. I don't think he'd want to be.
No.
And secondly, I don't want to hear, blah, 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 I don't want to hear that Mark Trestman is not the guru that I believe that he is.
You know where I stand on that.
I do. So we'll go down that road. And Nick Lewis has thoughts on that. Nick's going to be with us here, too. I don't want to hear it, but people are starting to say it. And I'm watching the Vipers game yesterday saying, man, Jaime Elizondo's come a long way since he kicked me out of Red Black's walkthrough twice. You know that story,
you
right?
You don't hold a grudge or anything.
It was national news. I don't hold a grudge at all. Hey, okay. Let's just drop anchor for a second. Spend 60 seconds on that. We're in Ottawa twice. Both times I saunter into the Ottawa Red Blacks walkthrough the day before they played the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and Elizondo is on the field conducting his walked through his practice. He's the offensive coordinator. And you know me, got my phone out, taking pictures. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm standing. I'm media. I'm here. The rest of the media. Would you mind? I'm like, you want me to leave? That was it. And I left. Pretty much both times it was exactly the same. As I'm giggling on my way out of TD Place, tweeting that I'd just been kicked out of Redblacks practice. And within minutes, it's national news. When the riders came in for their walkthrough later on in the day, Chris Jones is howling. This was the day before the Eastern semifinal, by the way. This is no Rudy Poo July regular season game. And Jones is like, heard you got kicked out. High-fived each other. And he's like, if you're stupid enough to use your personnel groupings in a walkthrough, you deserve to be spied on. I'm like, well, that's what I thought. And now Jamie's saving the Tampa Bay Vipers. And I like the guy. I really do. I was not offended. I've been kicked out of better places, believe me.
I've been there.
You were with me.
I can attest.
Point four, U of S Huskies. Bravo.
Yeah.
They won?
Everything.
So way to go, Saskatoon. Yeah,
champs of everything.
Number five, what's up with the Saskatchewan Rush at home? I mean, this is getting annoying. Blew a halftime lead.
Coach was annoyed.
Derek Keenan lost at home to the Toronto Rock. Yeah. And I saw a quote from one of the guys. I don't know if it was Chris Corbeil or whomever. Says, I don't know what the problem is here at home. Boys, you better figure it out.
Yep.
I'm now a paying customer. I wasn't there.
I saw somebody
had
your seats.
And I couldn't go off any more of a rant or be more angry than what the owner, Bruce Irvin, will be. He's probably still ticked off.
Oh, yeah.
The man doesn't like to lose.
Well, and from a business standpoint, you don't like to lose at home.
No.
You know, it's a little different on the road. Those aren't your paying customers. You want to treat your customers to a good time. And they had a good first half, right?
It's always a good time.
6-2, and it still was a good time. But, you know, yeah, second half, it was not good.
Moving on. Point six of the Elite Eight show topics, our NHL teams. I've settled on two, of course. Mm-hmm. And the Vegas Golden Knights lost at home to the LA Kings 4-1 last night.
Yeah,
I watched it. I watched it. They didn't show up. Marc-Andre Fleury was the goalie. They didn't, you know, throw their backup in like they did the other night, and Leonard won, but they were in a trance.
Yeah, they were on such a roll that you expect the hiccup. Eventually, you expect the hiccup.
But it would have been nice. A ninth win in a row would have been a franchise record for us long-suffering Golden Knights fans.
And the Peterson bump.
The Peterson bump's over.
Yeah.
So the Knights lost at home to the LA Kings. I mean, in the time that I watched, they didn't even need to flood the Kings' end of the ice.
Right.
But it's just on normal television? Because I watched on my Android box.
Yeah, and that's what I watch online.
You watch
it
too?
I catch it online. But the bump is only meant to be a bump. Eventually, we got to take the training wheels off and let you go on your own, right?
They're pretty darn good.
Oilers got a win on Saturday. That's all that matters.
Beat the Jets, and I had a bet on that. Ring the bell worthy. I won a bet with our director of scouting, Craig Smith, with Smitty on that game. Okay. Jets, Oilers. So I'm still all in on the Oilers, believe me, unless they played the Knights in the playoffs, in which case my love's been bought. It can
really
happen. Oh, yeah. Happens in Vegas all the time.
So many things I want to say about that.
For now, it's the Oilers in Canada for me and the Golden Knights in America. You are an Oilers. What's the same for you, Derek, right? Same teams.
I'm torn. I'm exactly the same as you. I'm torn. But if it came to the playoffs, I would still, my allegiances lie with the Great White North and the Edmonton Oilers. But I would be a little bit torn because I'm a huge fan of the Knights. I have been since they had the franchise announced. I, you know, got a t-shirt long before Kelly McCrimmon or any players were announced. So, yeah.
Pause the proceedings. From Scott Henbury. Good morning from Great Western this morning. They are our number one sponsor. Hey, Scott, happy birthday to you. Came up in my Facebook feed.
Nice.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for your continued patronage. We love you guys and gals at Great Western. Leafs. I notice how you just skipped over that. Can we talk about your Leafs?
We could. We're doing okay. Life's good again. The roof has been repaired. The sky's not falling in on us anymore. No, they're okay. They're okay. You know, when it came to the trade deadline, you look up and down the roster, and everyone's wondering, well, why didn't you make a big move? How come you didn't bring in a defenseman? How come you didn't do this? Didn't make any noise. Do you not want to win? And I say, well, look at the roster. Would you trade it with any other team, top to bottom? Probably not.
Just no grit.
Probably not too many teams, but they're just not playing as a team. They're just not, you know, and so they just need more of that and what? Seem to be doing okay the last couple of games.
This, and we would have said this at the start of the year, this is all just a precursor to the playoffs. Like none of this really actually matters. They have to win in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all kind of, yeah, it's called kind of win. Well, they better
get in.
You got
to get out of it. You got to get out of the first round. You know, you have to.
You have to, or what? You've already fired the coach.
Right?
No. Or what?
You just got to take your bumps. I mean, you got to learn. I mean, it's not expect.
Or why expect you to get. Willie Nylander.
I'm sorry. Last week, your thing about what does your opposition team fans do that annoy you? Did you come up with that, or was that a thing that was going around?
Well, no. I came up with it because I was watching the
game.
Was
it yours? It was yours. It was mine. That's my question.
Yeah.
So I saw. I was sitting by the pool in Mexico watching the show, and I was giggling. And my wife's like, what are you laughing at? I said, the show. I'm watching the show. It's funny. I'm enjoying this. And then you said to Clark, what are Leafs fans, what are they annoying about? And Clark said that they think every player wants to play for the Leafs, which obviously they don't, ask Drew Doughty.
Right.
I would say the thing that annoys me the most about Leaf fans is that you guys think every year's your year. This is going to be the year. And it never is.
That's true.
Provides endless entertainment for the rest of Canada.
We do hope it is. Yeah. I haven't figured out what Jets fans do or Canucks fans.
They're not that annoying.
The Canucks fans, I was like, maybe they riot. But
what about Senators?
That only happened once.
That was a good one. You said that.
Yeah, I did.
And Craig Smith said they rioted twice.
Yeah, they did.
I was watching.
Yeah. What do Jets fans do? I don't know what Jets fans do.
They're just happy to have a team.
Yeah.
They're not annoying. They're not.
They're not. I have a tough time being down on the Jets about anything.
I'm vanilla good on guys the Jets.
There. Actually, I'm very vanilla on the Jets, yes.
Actually, I had one for you two because I never got this the whole time. Flames fans. What is Flames fans like thing?
I tweeted it, which I subsequently took it down.
Uh-oh.
But was that Flames fans think their season's a success as long as they finish ahead of Edmonton.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. It's not just the fans, it's the team too.
You know, it's
and in Edmonton, we pursue championships, not just finishing ahead of Calgary.
Sports is such a funny thing, and you bring up this topic. Yeah. What's annoying about, I'm out door knocking the other day, and I see a guy walking his dog with a Flames hat on, and instantly I want to go over and ask him, like, what's the matter with you? Like, is there something the matter with you?
Why would you cheer for
that? I show up at one door, and there's a mom and a son, a teenage son, and I saw in kind of their mailbox, they had like an Oilers sticker, and I'm like, oh, you're Oilers fans. And the mom's like, wow, he is. I'm a Canucks fan. And he's like, I don't know what's the matter with her. I don't know what kind of household I'm being raised in. Like, God bless sports for that, because it's just instantly,
exactly,
you're annoyed by, and it's such a great question,
as
what do other teams' fans do to annoy you?
Anointing blessings. God bless the Score app, because they now have, besides standings, they have potential playoff matchups, i.e., if the playoffs started today, they've got the whole the bracket each day.
Oilers Canucks
shifts.
I think
you want me to look it up?
Yeah, I do.
On a daily basis.
Because Oilers Canucks would be
on
good.
On a daily basis. Yeah. I love you, the Score, for doing this.
Let's face
it. My former employer, by the way. So if the playoffs started today, and we say that we're a Western Canadian show, so here's... are you ready for this?
I'm not sure
the world is ready for this.
Yes.
Oilers Flames. There will be deaths.
There will be blood.
Golden Knights Canucks.
That'd be good.
Round one.
That'd be good.
A mere... speed bump for the Golden Knights. Avalanche versus the Dallas Stars.
Oh, that'd be another good matchup.
That'd be a good one. And Blues Predators.
All good.
Predators have rebounded to get into a playoff spot. And on the Eastern side of things, the Leafs would play Tampa.
Of course.
Speed bump.
Good night.
Bruins Columbus for a second consecutive year.
Oh, Tortorella.
Islanders Capitals. Get the ambulance circling for that one. And Flyers Penguins, Battle of Pennsylvania.
Well,
so some very good matchups. And so the Score every day has these, and it's updated every day.
I like how the NHL has kind of, you know, they've manipulated the scheduling and the seeding to get some of these matchups. I just wish we would get these matchups in like round two or round three, as opposed to round one, because I'm uber interested in round one. Like, I mean, who isn't
Everybody is interested in
all those matchups? But it seems like you kind of flame out real quick a little bit. And I would like to see those, you know, I mean, back in the day, the Smythe division, you know, you you got a second round, and then you would get the Campbell Conference. It'd be, you know, Blackhawks versus Oilers. That became a rivalry in the finals, and now it seems like you got these great rivalries. Poof, they're done by the, you know, mid-April, end of April, and then it's
good. But then the matchups, then the new rivalries are being formed because you're getting deeper into the playoffs. But anyways, a lot of time spent on that. This is the rollout, by the way, for Flooring Superstores. And we spent time with the wonderful Dickin family in Mexico. They've invited us to go to Florida with them. And I'm like, well, as Johnny Athens would say, somebody's got to pull the wagon. I can't be traveling all the time. You know how Johnny Athens says that.
I'm booked.
Somebody's got
him
to pull the wagon.
I've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with Johnny this week.
So you get it.
I'm full. Yeah.
0.7, Tim Hortons Breyer. I will have a Breyer update coming up here. I honestly thought this province would be going a lot more crazy about the Dunstone Rink being at the Breyer. And when I say that, I mean people talking about it, seeing it on Facebook and Twitter. I'm not seeing euphoria over what I thought would be the case with this Muskogee super team being put together.
That is a tough field for anybody.
Oh, it's murderer's row.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. It is.
But they're 1-1.
Yeah, big comeback win yesterday against New Brunswick. That was a good game for them.
And one where I'd like to finish up with my Elite Eight show topics here this morning, and that is, should CFL salaries be published? Because I went back and watched the entire Randy Ambrosi, Randy's road trip news conference Saturday, whatever you want to call it, a town hall meeting Saturday at the lounge at Mosaic Stadium. And the question came from the crowd, I believe, when are you going to publish CFL salaries? And I kind of got annoyed, I'm going to be honest with you, because both Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the CFL, the president of the Rough Riders, Craig Reynolds, and the general manager of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Jeremy O'Day, all said they don't want to see salaries published in the CFL.
Why? Did they give a reason?
Well, privacy issues was one.
Sure.
And basically, Jeremy said, would you like to have your salary published in the newspaper? I don't think we would like to do that. And Randy basically piggybacked on that. Guys, I have a problem.
I got thoughts.
When three middle-aged white men stand on a stage and say they don't want their employees' salaries published. I'm sorry, but I have a problem with that. And to say, would you like your salary published? Hell yeah. I would have loved to. Because in the last year, when I left my last job and people asked me what I was making, they're like, ooh, thought you'd be making three times that. Yeah, I wasn't. Ask me again why I'm happy to be in this role now.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's your reason, because of privacy, because if you guys are pulling all the purse strings, it's wrong. Now, I put it to a poll. It's our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. Should CFL salaries be published? Last I looked, 80% plus on Twitter were saying, yes, they should be published. I believe the real reason is the salaries are so woefully low, it makes the league look bad. That's what I've always believed that it is. If you, for privacy issues, don't want to publish CFL salaries, that's just, because why? Because you, I think it's like when they had that stat for drop passes in the CFL, they had it for like a couple of weeks and then they took it out because it made guys look bad. This is professional football. And it just seems like they want to have one foot in this pool and one foot in that pool and be pro football when it serves them. So should you not have professional sports salaries published? Is that not part of the deal?
My biggest complaint would be with the Riders and with the Eskimos. These are community-owned organizations. And as a community-owned organization, I think that the people who are invested in it and who are owners in it do have a right to know what people are
getting
paid.
Yeah, but what about private teams, though? That argument goes out the window.
No, it does a bit. I mean, I am very much pro published salaries. I think the fans who, and I think it came up here, somebody made the comment, you know, the fans, here it is, Casey Andrew. Fans are paying their salaries, we have a right to know. That's a good argument. I mean, if you want to bang on a guy because he's making too much money, I mean, that is the way it goes. Now, I will never blame a player for signing for as much as they can, but at the same time, as a fan, yeah, I want to have the right to criticize a guy.
Well,
that's
also
making a lot
was
of money,
the reason O'Day brought up. If a guy's to paraphrase, the guy's making too much money. He becomes a target of the fans because he's making too much money. Well,
can't take the
heat.
Get out of the kitchen.
That's why I said it's like the drop passes stat that they did away with after a few weeks because it hurt people's feelings.
It's pro sports. You can't compare it to your life, my life, somebody's life working at the mine or a police officer or a
police
nurse
officers
or
are published.
Exactly. But you can't compare it to regular people. You just can't because it's pro sports. And so part of being there in the limelight is you got to take a little bit of the heat. You're under that pressure. It is a business. But part of it for me, I think, is like, hey, man, if you found out how much Clark was getting paid, you'd walk off the show. You know, you got the guy next to you on the offensive line. You don't know what he's getting paid. Now, I mean, the boys talk, right? And the boys know what.
Well, the PA.
What's going on.
You can find out.
But, you know, when you look at, you know, negotiation period, it might put the general managers in a tougher spot when players be like, well, look at. I had more sacks than he did. I had more tackles than he did. I played more. And he's making more money than me.
But the agents know.
Yeah,
but the only people that don't know is the public.
The fans.
But what I mean is, you have to make them public.
That puts,
but they're not going to. When you got a president, a GM, and a commissioner all saying we don't want it public, it's not going to become public. So the poll's almost immaterial. But I'll say it one more time. I got a real problem with three middle-aged white men standing on a stage saying we don't want our employees' salaries published.
And to be
does that not just reek of collusion, suppression, whatever you want to say, oppression? That was my immediate take on that.
Yeah.
By the way, we have to break. I just want to say I brought something back. You said you guys said you wanted something from Mexico.
What'd you get?
Oh,
a ceramic iguana.
Beautiful,
Ricky. You haven't been around here enough, Myers.
Oh, I know.
Our mascot is an iguana named Ricky. So I don't know where we're going to put this. You're thinking, aren't you?
Yeah.
And listen, I go to pay for this on my way out of town. And the lady who is a Mexican lady behind the scene, she's like, oh, a salamander is $10. I'm like, it's an iguana, not a salamander. Look at it.
Maybe.
Iguana's fierce and ferocious.
Just don't put salt on it.
So, here you go. This is Ricky. I don't know where you want to put him.
We'll find a spot.
We'll find a spot. Adorning the desk.
That works.
Pretty good.
Right there. There he is.
Yeah.
We got Willie Jefferson coming up. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show and listening Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina. It's the best time of year to receive the biggest discounts, highest trade values, lowest payments, and hundreds of brand new vehicles to choose from. Get a special $1 over invoice price on all remaining new 2019 vehicles. Plus, get into a brand new Ford Escape for just $22,296 plus tax. And save up to $20,000 on 2019 Super Duties. Only for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for a Monday morning sports update. Anze Kopitar scored twice. Rookie Calvin Peterson, no relation, made 42 saves, and the LA Kings beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-1 Sunday night. LA, which is in last place in the Pacific Division, snapped Vegas's franchise record tying 8-game win streak. By the way, that's right, 42 saves, guys. Like, it's not like the Knights laid off. 19 of those shots, I believe, came in the third period. The Columbus Blue Jackets powered their way out of a three-week funk with a third-period flurry. Zach Werenski and Emil Bernstrom scored on power plays during Columbus's four-goal third-period rally. They beat the Canucks 5-3. And the Florida Panthers keep losing on home ice. Cam Talbot made 38 saves to lead the Flames to a 3-0 victory over the Panthers. Team Wild Cards' Mike McEwen goes for a third straight round-robin win at the Tim Hortons Briar when he takes on the winless territories in the morning draw in Kingston. They're on the ice right now. McEwen opened the Brier with wins over UConn and Saskatchewan. Raptors couldn't stop Nikola Jokic. The Nugget star had 23 points, 18 rebounds, and 11 assists for his 12th triple-double of the season, leading Denver to a 133-118 win over the visiting Raptors. That's three in a row, boys. For the Raptors. Three losses in a row.
They're banged up, though.
If you're paying attention.
They're banged up.
LeBron had 34 points, 13 boards and... 13 assists and 12 boards as the Lakers overcame Anthony Davis's absence and Zion Williamson's highest scoring game ever to beat the New Orleans Pelicans 122-114. Second place finish for Mackenzie Hughes. The Canadian golfer shot a second straight 466 to finish one shot back of winner Sung Jae Im of South Korea at the Honda Classic. And a rough outing for Blue Jays righty TJ Zoik. Doik! He allowed three home runs in the seventh inning as Toronto fell 13-9 to the Pittsburgh Pirates in spring training in Florida. Bull Bichette and Joe Panik hit two-run homers for Toronto while Vladdy added a solo shot. That's your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And by the way, kudos to you for the two of you guys getting through the ball game the other night. The two of you.
My two shoulders.
You and Jamie.
Where was
Clark?
I don't know.
Parenting?
He was parenting. He had real things to do. Both my shoulders are still sore to this day. Between the two games, I think we each had 50 at-bats.
Derek, do you ever want to come out and
50.
Play on our slow-pitch team?
Have you seen
we could
you
use the help.
Do anything else? Like, what nights?
We
what
suck.
Nights? What nights?
Do we know what time this week?
Usually it's Tuesday, Wednesday,
usually
Thursday.
It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and doubleheader.
Well, we'll see.
We've been sucking. The poll question, I want to get the exact response. And can you put up the Facebook, too, if you don't mind? On Twitter, the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll, question, should CFL salaries be made public? 74% of respondents on Twitter say yes, they should be. And I know we were kind of getting to the end of the rollout when I brought that up, so maybe you guys have more thoughts on that. I just want to say Colin McAnulty is watching from Ontario. I think he's in Ottawa. He says, I kind of agree with not publishing. When guys are regularly making 10 times down south what they make in the CFL, then it makes the CFL kind of look like a Mickey Mouse league. Not at all. I go through this whole thing. And by the way, we're moments away from Willie Jefferson joining us. But you are what you are.
Yes.
So stop masquerading as something that you're not. These are what the salaries are. Deal with it.
And I got no problem being, you know, the differences in the zeros at the end of the salaries. This is what the CFL is. It becomes relative. Is one receiver making $200,000, another receiver making $100,000 and outperforming the other guy? That's where the fans will get in on it. I don't think anybody's under the misconception that the quarterbacks up here are going to get $30 million a season. Like, that's just not the way it's going to work. And I don't think people are going to make that comparison. There is just that much more money down there. And the talent level, certainly the difference in the talent level between the leagues is not the same as the difference in the salaries. It's just that there's more money down there. The talent level, we've seen guys go down there and they're not 10 times worse than the NFL. So I think fans are savvy enough to figure that out. But when you say it makes it look Mickey Mouse, I take offense. I was just down visiting Mickey Mouse.
And he looks great.
He's the best.
Yeah, I mean... There obviously is some reasons that they don't want to make them public, but I mean, you're a professional sports league and you've got a salary cap and, you know, you just come down to, you know, fans want to know, well, why haven't you signed this guy or why haven't you signed that guy? And you might not get those questions if you realize, oh, they're out of money. Oh, he's making too much money and we'd rather slot other guys in. It's more opportunity to create discussion. It's more opportunities to create those armchair general managers, which seem to be so popular, you know, when it comes to the NFL, the NHL.
There's a million of them, right? In Saskatchewan.
But that's what makes the leagues popular. Sound, they may be annoying, but it keeps people more involved. I mean, There's a lot of positives to releasing the salaries.
I think Randy's got to listen to this. I mean, they've changed rules in the league based on fan input. Hey, you got three quarters of fans responding saying they want this. You are a fan league. It's something I don't think that the brass should just dismiss automatically because it's the way it's always been done. Or you know, what would you like your salary published? A lot of people that out there working, police officers, civil servants, the mayor, like there's a lot of people whose salaries are published. And like you said, virtually every sport does this. Mm-hmm. You're kind of the anomaly. I just don't think it's something that they should, as Rod puts it, three middle-aged white guys on a stage should just brush aside when you see that your fans, who are this league, let's be fair, you know, maybe are wanting something like that. I think you got to look at it.
To the Prairie Mobile text line, by the way, Prairie Mobile, your authorized Sasktel mobility dealer, Irene Ostapowicz in Saskatoon writes in. She says, my salary's published as a nurse practitioner, but I don't care what they make. Just play and make me happy. That from Irene. Now, this is a matter of perspective, and I'll say it again. From my perspective, in my past job, I would have loved to have had it published so people would know what I made. Because when I talk about those three guys on stage, they are well into six figures into what they make. So it's pretty easy for them to say it. I wasn't close to six figures in my role. I wouldn't have cared. Right? So it's, again, the matter of perspective. We talk about it all the time. I guess you can see why they don't want it published. And what a rookie American receiver wouldn't want to publish because he's making so little, so his friends and back home would laugh at him.
He's playing football,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I don't really understand where they come from with this.
I'm not sure.
By the way,
but have we heard the players? Let's ask Willie. Like, have we heard from the players? Do they specifically not want to? This is three guys who are in leadership roles. I wonder if you put a poll out to the CFLPA, would you be okay with your salaries being published? Where that would end up?
We got four players coming on today. We'll put it to all of them. Nelson in Regina is watching. He says the CFL is pursuing a video game in partnership with their International Alliance of Gridiron Football Partners. That came out of Randy's road trip on Saturday. And again, it was a fan question. And Randy said they're discussing with their 14 other football playing countries about launching a video game, so they have one set of rules for all of them. And obviously you guys know that I'm a huge fan of Randy Ambrosi personally and professionally. There was a whole lot of promises on stage Saturday. Are these guys politicians? You're one, Derek. I'm kind of sitting going, okay, it's time to see some results here. Now, I understand that the ratings are up and all that. I don't think that the CFL, quite frankly, is in bad shape. If you want to talk about the Atlantic Schooners, I could talk about them all day. I get asked pretty much daily, do you think this is going to happen? I have no idea. I'm not getting anything out of the Schooners people or from the CFL head office that's making me believe that it's going to happen. But back to the video game thing. Well, we're in talks and we're doing this, and they've been saying that for years, and Randy is still fairly new in the role.
Yeah.
And we talk about it on this show a lot, probably weekly. He had a massive mess to clean up. Massive. But I think that's cleaned up. Don't you?
And now you can start to move forward and build. And that's a big thing. You gotta make sure things are cleaned up. You gotta continue to clean up while you're starting to move forward and build and, you know, do the things that you want to accomplish in the league. The Halifax thing's interesting. What stands out to me in your comment on it is that people are asking, is it going to happen?
Yeah.
That scares me when that's the narrative in the fan base, is it going to happen? Not will it work? How long will they last? It's a question of, are they even going to happen? And the fact that that's still a big question mark, that concerns me a little bit, that that's still the narrative amongst the fans. Same thing with the video game. Is it going to happen? Not how good will it be? When will it launch? What's it going to look like? Are these things even going to happen? And maybe that's a little bit of the history of, you know, past commissioners or past regimes, you know, not being able to deliver on some of these things that they want to do. And now that's the expectation, is that, okay, wait, you've promised things before the league. Let's maybe hold our expectations. And is this actually going to happen? Is Santa actually coming for Christmas this year? I don't know. That concerns me a little bit.
Attendance, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. I mean, you start there. Like, let's literally start cleaning up the house before we start going out and looking at all the nice cars and on Rodeo Drive here. I mean, all this regime, quite personally, I keep seeing is CFL 2.0 and international and video games. What about 9,000 people going to a game in Toronto? Atlantic Schooners, how about we fix the attendance problem in Vancouver and start to work there? You know, they got all these grandioso ideas, but I don't see anything concrete when it comes to, you know, and every league has issues. The NFL is down in attendance as well. But I'm not saying this is exclusive to the CFL, but I don't see any work being done in that direction. And maybe there is behind the scenes, but certainly as a fan on the outside, I don't see anything tangible happening to keep more. The Riders had one sellout last year. Maybe we should start taking a look at that before we start worrying about some German kid coming in with a video game. That's just my thought.
Yeah, my mind's racing as you say that, and I like it. And back to that one sellout, it was Labor Day.
Yeah.
And if not for Bomber fans, it might not have been sold out. So there, that's another way to look at it.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, go ahead, Darren.
Well, yeah, just my counterpoint to that. I think that's really good, but it's kind of a world philosophy. And it's like we spend, and think of your life as you're watching this, and think of you guys. We spend so much of our lives worried about 1,000 square feet, right? Mm-hmm. When you think about cleaning up your own backyard, we're worried. You know, we literally get in fights with our partners about, you know, we need new shower curtains or these couches needed. We need new couches. There's a whole world out there in terms of growing and in terms of expanding and in terms of building that we spend so much time with the blinders on, only focused on 1,000 square feet of our life. And I'm, you know, you don't want the CFL to be worried about that, but at the same time, you do have to make sure that the house isn't, you know, leaking and water's not coming. Well, so you have to have both in mind at the same time.
Sure. And that's why I'm kind of just sitting back and watching this from the periphery. I know a lot of presidents and CEOs, and they all talk that way. Dream big. We have a president in America that talks, you got to dream anyway, so dream big. Yep. You know, global's big. But I also spend more of my time around the coaches and life coaches and people that recovery coaches that are in that end of things. Rick Campbell saying it. If you look too far down the road, you're going to trip tunk on what's right in front of you.
Yeah.
So I say there's room for two ways to look at it. I mean, my bracelet that says one day at a time broke in Mexico because I kept taking it off. And I was actually upset because so many people that I had just met were saying to me, where do you see your life going, Rod? Where do you see your life going? I get that all the time. Right. And it kind of drives me crazy. And I literally look down and go, one day at a time, I'm having a pretty good day right now. That's what I know. Yeah. And you stack up enough good days, life's amazing.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now. But if everybody wants to talk about the future and vision, we need those people too.
Sure.
We need those people
too. And Darren's one of those guys in life. And I envy him for it because I'm not that guy all the time. But Darren is very much
like
that.
We work well together.
My only thing is that 30 to 35% of league revenue is asses in seats. And that has to be your number one. Not the TSN contract, which is great, which is fabulous, and it's money. Not as, you know, growing the game internationally, but you know, if you get a charter plane from Germany to come over to the games, great. Bums in seats is your number one priority in this league.
Willie Jefferson has logged in and we're told is ready to go. Hang on, Willie. We're going to take a break and be right back. The CFL's reigning Defensive Player of the Year is coming up next. It's a Monday morning. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Monday morning, episode 183 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show coming your way. The Duke, Derek Myers, is with me. Nick Lewis joins us here in the bunker. How you doing, Nick?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good. I know you got a lot of stories to talk about with your Saturday night at the Rush game. You can tell me how they completely imploded in the second half. I was not happy following it on Twitter coming home from Mexico. But we're going down close to Mexico now, close to the Gulf of Mexico. The reigning Canadian Football League Defensive Player of the Year, Willie Jefferson, joins us on video chat this morning. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
What's going on?
Not too much. How are things in your life on this Monday morning down there? Nick's saying that he thinks you're in Beaumont, Texas. How are things down there?
Oh, everything's good in Beaumont. Sunny. So everything's good.
Willie, how much of a relief was it to get that decision to go back to Winnipeg dealt with and know where you're going to be in 2020?
Oh, it was a big relief, you know, talking to Kyle, Wade, Darren, Coach O'Shea, and those guys, knowing the guys that we were bringing back for the 2020 season. It really made it comfortable for me coming back and things like that. So I was happy. It was a big relief for me, you know, knowing where I was going to be for the next 2 years, me and my family. So it made it pretty easy after everything started rolling.
Yeah, but everybody follows you on Twitter, and we saw that you were agonizing over the decision with the way the welcome mat was rolled out in Toronto and Hamilton. What was it like having your butt kissed to that degree? And did you really know in the back of your mind that you were going to be going back to Winnipeg even at that time?
By that time, it was coming down to those three teams, you know, Toronto, talking to Pinball and things like that. It made it real hard to say no to him, just him being the guy that he is and the presence that he brings to any atmosphere that he steps into. And going to see Coach O in Hamilton, that was big for me too, you know, to talk to him and pick his mind and things like that about the defensive side of the ball, and talk to the front office and those guys in Hamilton as well. But just like I said, the moves that Winnipeg made in the offseason, bringing a lot of those guys back and getting Zach and then Darvin and Stan and then Yosh and things like that, it made it real easy for me to want to go back. And just have guys roll out the red carpet out east, it just shows my importance in this league right now as a player and my value as a player. And it made me feel happy. And it was even much more of a privilege to have my family there, you know, my wife and my daughter there to see it as well and to be a part of it and not just be me. So I liked it, you know, especially when the other team spend a little bit of money on me instead of my team doing it. You know, it's always a plus.
Hey, I totally get it. I was following it at all more through Holly than yourself. But Willie, we spent some good years together here in Saskatchewan. I know you well enough to know you're 6'7" and your heart's 6'7". Like, you probably felt a little bit of tinge of you didn't want to let these teams down. Did you feel bad when he said, "Hey, I'm signing in Winnipeg"?
Oh, I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel bad at all. You know, the fans that I built in Winnipeg and the relationships I built in Winnipeg through the throughout the community and things like that over just this last year in Winnipeg, it made it, you know, a lot easier for me to come back. You know, I didn't really have the name that I had when I was in Sask, like this time. You know, I was big in the community and things like that, but I didn't really have a lot of relationships with people and things like that out there. But it was fun and Sask, but you know, like I'm saying, things got a lot better for me when I moved to Winnipeg and things like that. So.
Cool. And hey, I know these guys got some football questions for you, but I just have one more. The morning you announced you were going to Winnipeg, you said you might leave it up to your daughter. Kelly's her name, is it not?
Yes.
Would she have been capable of making that decision? Because she seems like she's got a lot of moxie, a lot of chutzpah. I mean, she's got a lot of stuff going on. Would you have actually allowed her to make that decision for you? What is she, 3?
She's about to be 2 in a month.
So. She's tall. Okay.
I honestly left it up to her and my wife. You know, like I said, it was a lot of things going on outside of football that played a big role for me and my family moving to wherever we was gonna go in 2020. And you know, my wife had some time to think about it. I had some time to think about it. Like a little girl was with me the whole time when we went to Toronto, Hamilton, you know, and when we went back to Winnipeg and things like that. And it seemed like that's where she had the most fun at, you know. It was a lot of stuff going on that she probably, you know what I'm saying, didn't know what was going on and things like that, like the talks and stuff that we was having. But when we laid out all the jerseys and stuff like that out in front of her and we told her, like, which team was which team, and she knew – my team was Winnipeg, and that's what she wanted to go back to. So that's how we did it.
What's up, Will? It's Nick. Hey, I got two questions for you. First, does it help for Toronto Argonauts to use the Raptors, and did you get to meet Drake? Did they include Drake in the package of you sitting courtside?
I'm saying Drake name came up, but That wasn't like a big factor for me. You know, like, I understand, like, Drake is big in Toronto and things like that, but that's not one of the reasons why I wanted to go to that organization. Meeting him wouldn't have made it, you know what I'm saying, sweeter for Toronto. Like, it would have been a big thing in my book, you know what I'm saying, me and my family, you know, to meet Drake and things like that. But, you know, to sell me on Toronto and, you know, the organization, the football team, stuff like that, like, that's not that I would want to get used to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying, try to, like, tell people, like, oh, yeah, the only reason why I came to Toronto is because I, you know what I'm saying, like, I can meet Drake. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying, that's not me, so.
Willie, we've had a bit of a debate this morning, and we've actually put it on the poll question today. Do you think, and would you be in favor or against all CFL players' salaries actually being published and fans having access to seeing them?
I thought the salaries was already public. I think you can go online and see how much.
You can find them in a lot of places, but the official league position is they don't publish them. So, you know, if Justin Dunk or Rod or these guys find out, they publish it. But it's not an official thing. So it makes it sound like you wouldn't have a problem with it.
Oh, I would have a problem with somebody looking up how much money I make. I don't want to know. I don't want nobody to know how much money I make.
Okay, there we go. There's one for the no.
You're not getting those Anthony Calvillo checks, huh? Them handshakes.
No, I'm not getting. I need some of that. Some of that QB money, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can spread their wealth out a little bit more my way if they want to, but I don't want people in my pockets knowing how much money I make and, you know, doing the calculations and things and tell me how to spend money when it's my money to spend. So that's pretty much how it is.
There you go. Fair enough.
Put you down as a no. Yep. Thank you, Willie. Collins watching in Ottawa. He says, how close was Willie to signing with an NFL team? We'd heard about the Dolphins. Willie, was that close to happening?
From what I understand, it was close to going down, but it didn't go down. So that's pretty much all I know.
You let your agent just handle everything, and you just kind of sit back and converse with him?
Yeah, that's what they get paid to do. You know,
is it?
So I don't. You know, I'm not the guy that the Dolphins wanted to talk to every day. You know. I couldn't call the Dolphins every day and see what was going on. If it was up to me, that's what I would have did. So, you know, I wish it would have happened. You know, it didn't. You know, I'm in Winnipeg. I'm happy. You know, that's pretty much how it went down.
Jason's watching in Red Deer and said, was the XFL ever a consideration for Willie? I mean, given what you signed for, I would think not. But you know, what are your thoughts on the XFL as an option for pro football players, free agents?
Most definitely. From what I've seen, it's been a lot of good football being played in the XFL. It's a lot of good guys out there in the XFL. It's a lot of good coaches out there in the XFL. So if the CFL isn't your preference and things like that, and you can't, you know, sometimes get across the border and things like that. So if you can go to the XFL and play ball in the States and, you know, build on your craft and get your name out there for the NFL teams and stuff. So that's good business.
Last one for you, Willie, is from David Asplund in Winnipeg. He says, Willie, we going to repeat and defend as Grey Cup champs? Or is that that's a question, I think. Are we going to repeat and defend as Grey Cup champs? Yeah. That's the way I've read that. Your thoughts on repeating in Winnipeg?
That's a big task to take, and that's the thing that we want to do. You know, the coaching staff and the defense and the offense that we got, that's the group of guys that I feel can make that happen. Once I know it's hard to go back to back, but that's something that we're trying to do. You know, that's the goal.
Yeah, it's the only option you have. Willie, it's nice, always fun catching up with you. Say enjoy the rest of your off season, and we'll be looking for you on CFL fields here this summer.
Oh, yes, sir. I appreciate that. I'll be lighting it up once again.
All right.
Take care.
Willie Jefferson joining us from Beaumont, Texas. And I'll say it again. I said it many times. That's the Willie that I know. When we get these players on here, you see him with the helmets off. How could you not love that guy?
We had McLeod Bethel Thompson last week.
Blew
me away. I love the form that this provides. Yep. We get a little more insight into guys as opposed to just, you know, how you're going to get around the end and sack the quarterback, you know, feed the goats kind of stories. I like this.
Interesting, though, there's a great question about you, about Drake.
Yeah,
because it was a great question, but a great answer. If you think I'm going to sign somewhere because I got to meet Drake.
But doesn't
they use it?
Interesting.
Like, I was gonna say, but that opens up another kettle of fish.
You have the same company that runs them.
Yes.
Right? So why would you not use every bullet you have?
Yeah.
To create it. I mean, I think Dinwiddie was in the box, but he was courtside. Right?
Yeah.
So him and his daughter and his wife were courtside while the Raptors played a game. And I mean, that's a huge benefit. You see a lot of the Toronto Argonaut players going to Raptor games during the season.
Is that fair? From a league standpoint, if you are the Calgary Stampeders or if you're the Hamilton Ticats, and you see, how do you compete with that in a salary cap league? Because it doesn't really fall under the cap. It comes into that gray area. People are always going to argue that guys that play for the Riders, you know, that they can, you know, they can get benefits because they're doing all these speeches and stuff like that. Like, how...
They make the most money. The Riders players make the most money in off the field than other teams. Calgary, when oil was booming, it's a benefit to be in that community and then get an oil and gas job or internship or whatever in the offseason. So there's different.
Yeah,
wherever you are economically makes sense. And I think that every team should use everything they have to get guys there. Now, guaranteeing jobs, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Now, if a guy comes into Calgary and they say, well, we have you an oil and gas job or we have you this, now we're getting into the.
Yeah.
Like, they're not working.
How did Montreal get you? How did Montreal Just because it's Montreal?
Nobody wanted me, man. I was retired.
You know what? I was actually talking to Corey Chamberlain about being receiver coach here before Jermaine Copeland signed.
Yeah.
That's why I asked for my release in Calgary and then Pop called.
Well, so. I got a lot of things. One, James Johnson's watching in Atlanta this morning. He was the MVP, of course, of the 2007 Grey Cup. He said, is Coach Richie in Winnipeg? And the answer to that, James, is yes, he is. Richie Hall is the defensive coordinator in Winnipeg. And that reminds me, I got to get his contact info to Clark and let's get Richie on the show while he's in town.
Talk about
his book. Would be great. His book, Smoke and Mirrors, great book.
It is great.
Nelson Hakowicz writes in and he says, Murphy went on record. That's John Murphy. And said, this is the only CFL city where you can sit courtside at a Raptors game. And they did use it as a recruiting tool. Didn't Murph say that right here? It was when I was gone to Vegas. Hey, listen, I totally get it. I mean, it's a recruiting tool. And it's going to sway some guys. It's not going to sway other guys. There's a great answer from Willie. If you think me meeting Drake's going to make me sign with you, that's not me. I get it. The point being, well, there's other Raptor games that you could go to.
If Willie was a rapper, though, like if Don Jackson or Deron Carter.
They'd have been all over it.
Right? You meet Drake, he helps you get your rap career off the ground.
If the Calgary Stampede gets you backstage passes to Garth Brooks, you're re-signing there, aren't you?
Well, I already got backstage passes to everything in Calgary.
Furthermore, by the way.
Cowboys.
You know, Henry, we did a dinner. I wish you'd have been there, Nick. Hank was there, and Henry told the whole story of why he left Saskatchewan in 2005 for the Stamps. And it was one, Shivers had said something that offended Henry, but also the Stampeders had offered he and his wife off-season jobs in the oil patch and SUVs and all the rest, or in the oil companies, not in the oil patch. And I said, Henry, you waited too long. Nobody cares anymore. You know what I mean? You should have said that at the time. Nobody literally cares anymore. But Calgary had that ability.
Yes.
Right? Can teams still do that now in the 2020 CFL?
I'm pretty sure you use everything to your advantage. I mean, Calgary or Alberta has the lowest tax bracket, right? So that's a factor. There's multiple factors, you know, from Vancouver, weather, you know, different things.
Do facilities factor in, like the Riders' new stadium? Does that factor in at all?
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah?
It's huge. I mean, a lot of guys now want to play here. Than before.
Right.
The new facilities helped a lot.
Okay.
And, yep. So now you get guys that will say, hey, I want to go to Sask. Right? So.
Huh. So Willie's down as a no for wanting his salary
emphatic
published.
No.
An emphatic no. Thoughts. What would you have voted, Nick? Though. We said we were going to ask the players.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. It's a toss-up, man. It's crazy because to know what a guy really makes is always different because you don't know how it's broken down. How much money is in a signing bonus
or
how much money is in housing, how much is tax-free, how much is not. So I think it's best that, you can do the big name guys you can go ahead and do, but I wouldn't do the whole league.
Well, I think it's all in or all out, wouldn't you say?
And I will say a few years ago was privy to looking at the breakdowns of different guys' salaries. And it is more than this guy makes 100K. Like, there is a lot that goes into that when you talk about housing, travel, the bonuses, the structures, and just how it all works. It is complicated. And it's just, I could see where you wouldn't want everything put out there because then you got people second guessing. Why is Neon for a snap? Because if he gets 50% of the snaps and things like that, it maybe does get a little tender.
Well, but as a whole number? Every clause of a contract detailed, but it's the amount.
The breakdown is pretty elaborate.
You'd be surprised. Like, you start seeing the 6 O-linemen making $150,000 and playing 40, 50 snaps a year, and you're like, why is this guy making this much money?
Right.
It's because you need an extra O-lineman.
Right.
Right,
Canadian.
One guy
you
goes
need an
down.
Extra Canadian.
Exactly, one guy.
Well,
goes
again,
down.
You know, it's fun to sit and kick around.
Yeah.
But when a president, a GM, or the commissioner say they don't want to do it, it's not going to happen. So
correct.
They are not going to publish them ever. So it's almost pointless to talk about. Again, James Johnson, watching in Atlanta, says put him down as a no. I feel like the higher your salary is, the less you want it published. Would I be right on that? That's a feeling that I get. Willie might be the highest paid defensive player in the CFL.
I'd have loved to have had my Global TV salary published.
Exactly. right. Now, what was going on my line?
You're doing this
169 or whatever it is of my income tax wasn't necessarily what I was taking home from the radio station.
Yes.
Let's remember that.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'd be real interested in that figure getting out.
So there you are.
There is a difference.
Yeah, there is.
There's a difference.
There is.
Now, coming up in hour two, Derek Dennis of the New York Guardians. They won, by the way, don't you know, at MetLife Stadium on Saturday in the XFL.
I've been entertained.
And Naaman Roosevelt of the Montreal Alouettes. He'll be with us as well. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 183, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada, where it's beautiful, almost T-shirt weather today. We'll be back with hour two in a moment on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina. The Capital Auto Mall has over 550 used vehicles, and they've all been repriced to move. Right now, get the certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala LT for only $21,511 plus tax. Or check out the certified pre-owned 2019 Buick Encore Preferred All-Wheel Drive. It's only $23,911 plus tax. Only for a limited time at Canada's number one GM certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.